Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
More than just lifting of hands, Lord, but a softening of our heart, a surrender of our will, and a willingness, Lord, to walk in obedience to you. And so, Lord, this morning we pray that you would be here as always, Lord, in the midst of the prayer and the worship of your people. Holy Spirit, teach us, instruct us, guide us, change us. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,
amen.
Awesome. Well, good morning. Yes, it's very dark. There you go. I can see clearly now. Oh, never mind. All right. Hey, happy Father's Day. Yes. Yes. And back to me. Yes. Okay. Hey, we had an amazing VBS all this week. Yeah. We had over 80 kids total. We had 18 little kids make decisions for Christ. We had 6 teenagers make decisions for Christ and 2 adults. Now, you know, whether or not they're real conversions, time will tell, but the fact that God was moving in the way that they raised their hand and made those proclamations is awesome. So, yeah, there you go, VBS. And it was great to have one. We didn't have one in 2020. I don't have to tell you why. But hey, listen, I have one more announcement, and then we're going to jump in. We are going to have a potluck, but not on a Sunday. We're going to have it on Friday, July 23rd at 6 p.m. It's going to be a potluck and talent show. Yeah. Woo, yeah. Listen, I know about some of the acts, and it's going to be awesome. If you'd like, if you have a talent and you'd like to showcase it, it can be anything. We have someone doing something very unusual, but it's going to be awesome. You can sign up over in the fellowship hall. As you go through the door, there's a sign-up sheet. We need you to sign up because then I'm going to go over and try and put the acts in order that they would be most pleasing, if you will, that it makes sense. So it's going to be a family night. However, there is no child care. So the children you bring, you'll be responsible for them. They can't be like running loose. They're not going to be over in the children's church. They're going to be with you. But it's family night, talent show, potluck, Friday the 23rd at 6 p.m. That's a Friday night. Hey, you could turn it into a date night. Who knows? Free entertainment. No, some of this stuff's going to be awesome. All right, so with that, keep that in mind. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark 14. We're actually going to be several other places. I just want to use a particular verse as a springboard. Mark 14, verse 35 through 36, and I've entitled our message, as you see, Father Figure. And of course, that goes with the Happy Father's Day. Now, let me read our verses, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of information here. In Mark 14, well, you know what? Let me pray again. Father, we thank you, Lord God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for you being our good Father, but we also thank you for our earthly fathers. And Father God, even some of us are earthly fathers. But Father, we just come humbly before you and grateful. And now, Lord, let us dive into your word and let us just appreciate you all the more and appreciate our earthly fathers all the more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Mark 14, verse 35 and 36. Jesus, in the garden before he's arrested, it says, he went a little further, fell on the ground, and prayed, if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, I always explain this when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day because it's important to know what I'm about to share with you. First of all, the highest attended church day is Easter. That's number one. The most attendance in every church is Easter. Last Easter, we had 700 people or so at our epic Easter. Yeah, pretty awesome. The second most attended day other than Easter and tied with Christmas is Mother's Day. The lowest attended church day is Father's Day. And I try to think, what in the world could be the reason? Well, I think one of the reasons is, you know, you come to mom and say, hey, it's Mother's Day, what do you want to do? Well, let's go to church, and then we'll go to lunch, and, you know, we'll all dress up, and it's great. The guys are like, I want to go on my bass boat. It's Sunday. Well, what's cool is, not cool, but men, we're just big babies. We're just big kids. I found a video that expresses this perfectly. Watch the screen. But that is a great depiction of the typical male. We're just big kids in old bodies. But I'm glad. Listen, for Father's Day, what a great attendance this morning. I walked in, I was like, wow, this doesn't look like a Father's Day, but praise God. Well, listen, today we are going to be looking at father figures, when we put down the Nerf guns and actually pick up our children. Some of you had great dads. Some of you had good dads. Some of you had so-so dads. Some of you had Darth Vader dads, right? It's kind of scary. Well, listen, also flip that coin. Sometimes there are kids that have a godly dad, and they're the rebellious ones, which was interesting because my wife brought me a Father's Day card, and it was Darth Vader on it, and it was talking about kids not being rebels. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's in my study. They didn't know that, but anyways. But it doesn't matter what kind of dad you had. We all have an awesome, good, good father in heaven. He is our hero. We should heed his voice as an authority in our life. He has given to us abundantly, but it is the presence of God that we should want the most. It's being in his presence, not the gifts he gives. Listen, if you're a good father, it should be a matter that your kids don't want you to give them stuff. They just want to be with you, and then you give them stuff. It shouldn't be about the stuff. It should be about the love. Well, that's how we should be with our good father. Now, understand this. As children, we aren't chosen, and no child chooses their parents. Parents don't choose the kids you get. And kids, you don't choose the parents you got. Because if we could, things would look a lot worse. No, a lot different. It's kind of like Christianity. Christianity, you can't join Christianity like a club. You must be born into it. You must be born into a family. The only difference is with God, God did choose you. He said that in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Isn't that interesting? See, we don't get to choose the parents we have, and as parents, we didn't choose our kids. But when it comes to God being the good, good father, he did choose you, and he chose us that we would bear fruit. Now, this is interesting. Father figures and mother figures, all figures that are chosen by God, are to bear fruit. What fruit? The love fruit. We need to love. We need to give love. We all want to be love, but we need to give love as well. In fact, God is love. Isn't that what he says? In John, 1 John, excuse me. Yes, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Isn't that interesting? And by the way, as Christians, if we are children of God, the apple shouldn't fall far from the tree. Yet, too often in Christendom, you find apples that fall off the tree that don't seem to be very loving. I like one person who said this. My father, he didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. See, that's the idea. We are to be those apples that don't fall far from the tree. We are to be, if God is love and we are a chip off the old block, we should be loving as well. That's what Jesus was, by the way. The Father showed us how to live by sending Jesus to be an example of the Father. Jesus, we'll look at it later. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. Being an example of a father figure. By the way, that spills over into another aspect. Do you realize to me, y'all are all my kids? You are. I'm a spiritual father. Paul talks about that as well in 1 John. It talks about being a father figure. I'm sorry. John talks about that, about being a father figure in 1 John. Now, the relationships we have here on earth, all of them, are all examples of God to man. God does this so that we can grow. I'll give you an example. Parent and child, that's like God the Father and we are his children. Husband and wife, Christ and the church. Neighbors, well, that goes without saying. How about this? Employer, employee is the servant-master relationship that's talked about throughout Scripture. Even as far as pet and master. Jesus is a good shepherd. We are his sheep. See, all of the relationships we have are to be a depiction, are to be a reflection of God. So is fatherhood, men. Let's read our verse again, Mark 14, verse 35 through 36. And he went a little further and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, the key word here, and you should have caught it, Abba. Abba. What in the world does that mean? It is not the cheesy 80s group singing Mamma Mia. That's not Abba. I mean, it is Abba, but it's not the Abba. Abba simply means daddy. That's all it means, daddy. If you go to Israel, you'll see little kids. You'll hear them go, Abba, 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 daddy, daddy, daddy. Now, understand, the patriarchs, all of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, on and on and on, all the Old Testament patriarchs, none of them called God Father. None of them. Not a single one. So, when Jesus is asked, hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray, and he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, that was a mind blower. Wait. He just called God Father. Like, there's an intimate relationship there. There was no intimate relationship in the Old Testament. In fact, only one person, one time a year, was able to go into the holiest of holies where the Father dwelled, and that was for one moment in time. And if that person did not have a right heart, poof, they'd fall over dead. The bells would stop ringing. The bells at the bottom of his robe, they have a rope tied to him. They drag the body out. They go, next. You had to be right with God. And then Jesus says, okay, how should we pray? Let's pray like this, Our Father. And they probably all looked at him. He called God Father. That's a mind blower. We don't understand that because we take it for granted. You know, we see that prayer all over the place. Some people can pray it so fast, they seem like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. There's no heart in that. We take that for granted. But then for Jesus to then go and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, not just Father, Father, no, Daddy, the intimacy, that would double blow their mind. If you could have your mind blown twice, that's what would happen. And someone would go, well, but Pastor Randy, come on, man, that was Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can say Abba. He can call him Daddy. Well, Paul understood this over in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says this. Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you received the spirit," listen, "the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." We can call God Daddy. That's intense. That's intense. Even to this day, Orthodox Jews, Ascetic Jews, don't call God Father. And they definitely don't call him Daddy. But men, think about this. For one moment, think. That is a lofty title. A title that God uses for himself. And you and I, we get to share that title where we can have children call us Father, but prayerfully they go beyond that and call us Daddy. That's so sweet. So if my kids came up to me, and my son does this as a joke, Father, he calls me that. But when my kid, hey, Dad, hey, Daddy, that's a sweet, sweet sound. In fact, William Wordsworth says this, "Father to God himself, we cannot give a holier name. And yet, men, we share that title." Wow. Thank you, Lord. By the way, Abba, Daddy, that's an action word. It's an action word. See, it's easy for a man to have children. It's harder for children to have a dad. Daddy is an action word. It's not passive at all. It's an expression of love. Yet, here we are, Father's Day. All of us had different kinds of fathers. But we can also all consider that we have a Heavenly Father who is the ultimate father figure. Now, in order to examine this father figure today on Father's Day, we must go all the way to the back, all the way to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image." Look, watch this. "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Wait. Isn't that redundant? In our image, in our likeness? No, it's not. Not at all. We are like God in his image, in our maleness. But we are like God in his likeness, in our manhood. You go, what's the difference? Listen, I am a male by biology, but I'm a man by responsibility. Anyone can be male. Well, not anyone. In this day and age, I got to be careful with that. Biologically, anyone can be born a man biologically, but not... male biologically, but not anyone can simply be a man. To be a man, there's a responsibility. Just being male doesn't make you a man. Taking responsibility makes you a man. Having sex can make you a parent, but it doesn't make you a man. Taking on the responsibility of that child, raising that child, makes you a man. But, by the way, taking on responsibility, repenting of your sin, admitting that you are broken in need of a Savior, makes you a godly man. And that's even better. It makes you a better parent, makes you a better father, makes you a better daddy, makes you a better person once you realize that you need God. Now, the impression that we get, the father figures in our life can often affect the perception we have of God. It's true. Listen, it parallels. If you had a very tough father to deal with, then when you get saved, I know people who struggle with seeing God as having unconditional love. And I'm going to talk about my dad in a little bit so that you understand what I'm talking about. But the parallels between God the Father and a Christian dad, that should be very evident. It should be obvious that there's a difference, that there's a daddy and not just a father. There's a story. A father, a dad, took his little boy in his lap and described to him what a Christian was and how a Christian was to live. And when he was through, the little boy asked a question that pierced the father's heart. He said, "Dad, have you ever seen one?" Wow. Listen, if we describe to our kids what a Christian looks like and they're wondering if we've ever seen one, what does that say about our walk? It would be better for you and I not to describe what a Christian looks like, but to show them what a Christian looks like. Jesus Christ was a visual of the love that God has for us. That's why he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Why? He lived out the love that God has for us in bodily form. And then Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Dads, you should love the way Christ loved and loves. You should express forgiveness the same way. But for children, let's think about the children's perspective for a moment. For children's perspective, the father figure sometimes seems unloving. Why? Discipline. Kids are like, "Oh, my dad doesn't love me. My mom doesn't love me." Why? They won't let me do what I want to do. Isn't that how we treat God? Right? We don't get what we want. "God doesn't love me." Why would you say that? "Well, I wanted this, I wanted that, and he ain't doing nothing." And God's like, "Yes, because you don't know what's good for you." See, we have to understand, God doesn't punish us. If you're a believer, God doesn't punish you. He corrects you. He disciples you. He disciplines you. There's a difference. See, the carnal father, the fleshy father, the unsaved father, often punishes a child because the child causes the parent grief. But God and godly parents disciple because our choice will cause us grief in the long run. See, a godly parent disciples the children not because I'm frustrated with my kids, but I want the best for their future. That's the difference. Think about this. Psalm 23, you're familiar with it. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me," God. I'm reading the King James, obviously. "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff beat me to a pulp." No. "Punish me and I hate that." No. Look what he says. "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What? Yeah. They comfort me. Why? Because the rod is for correction, the staff is for direction. God only corrects those who are his. So when I get corrected, when I do wrong, and I do, and God corrects me, and he does, I know it's because I am his. And that comforts me. Oh, I am saved. Where most people go, "God corrected me, this stinks." Well, you're a spoiled brat. It does stink. I don't like it. But in the end, if you really think about it, if I'm walking through Walmart and my kid throws a tantrum, which would be weird because they're in their 20s and 30s. But when they were little, and I have some teenagers too, if they threw a tantrum in the store, I could discipline them. Why? They're mine. But if some other kid throws a tantrum, when no one's looking, I can't discipline them. Why? They're not mine. So if you do wrong and you get disciplined by God, say, oh, good. I don't like the discipline, but at least he did. That means I'm his. So he says, thy rod, which is for the lower back in the soft. God put extra cushion there. Did you notice? And thy staff, rod of correction, staff of direction. God wants to lead us. See, a shepherd always cares for the sheep. He doesn't chasten the sheep because he's bored. If he does, there's something seriously wrong. That'd be like walking in your house and just start kicking your dog for no good reason. There's never a good reason to kick a dog, but you get the idea. But rather, a good shepherd lovingly corrects the sheep. Why? For their safety. That's what God does for us. When a father is Christ-centered, he takes the same heart. He corrects. His correction is guidance, and his correction is never punishment. God only disciples and disciplines the believer. Why? Because Jesus took our punishment. If God were to give us the punishment that we deserve, we'd all be destined for hell. But thank God Jesus took the whipping that was for us. He took what was on our plate. There's another aspect of the father figure in a family relationship. Let me illustrate it this way. A man who says he's sorry when he is wrong is teachable. The man who says he's sorry when he's not sure, that man is wise. The man who says he's sorry when he is right and still says he's sorry, that's called a husband. I had a husband raise his hand. That's me. Listen, a godly father, a godly marriage should always be, well, not always, there are exceptions. But a godly father and a godly marriage should be in the equation. It's very important. One person put it this way, the best legacy a father can leave his children is to love their mother. Children have stability. They feel stable when they have a father who loves his wife. That is important. It's important, by the way, I tell parents this all the time. When parents fight and they're constantly at each other's throat, your kids, when they grow up, even though that's not what you intended to do, you're teaching them that that's what marriage is supposed to look like. So then they get married, and then you're like, oh, my daughter, her and her husband are going at it. And I'm like, well, do you and your husband argue a lot? Well, but I'm talking about my daughter. No. See, you set the example. What example are you setting for your kids? Yelling, cursing, unloving, unforgiving? Well, guess what they're going to do when they get married? They're going to look, because that's what marriage is supposed to look like. But the cool part is, remember, Jesus came and he lived an example for us. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he lived a forgiving, a loving, a caring, a surrendered life. If we do the same, then our kids will look for that in a relationship. As soon as your daughter meets a guy who wants to argue, it's like, well, whoa, that's not what I want. I want what my mom and dad had. But if that's what you have in your house, and she goes, well, he's yelling, well, that's what my dad did to my mom. I guess that's marriage. Will you marry me? No. Set the right example. That's why Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, or she, and when he or she is old, they will not depart. Did you catch that? You are training up your kids. You should be a good, good father, a good, good mother. You should be a daddy and a mommy loving each other. You'll never find a kid. What do you want for your daddy and mommy? I want them to yell and cuss at each other, throw things at each other. No, you'll always ask a little kid, what do you want? I want my daddy and mommy to love each other, to play and take us on walks. They want a happy home. Don't you want a happy? What if Jesus was always fighting with the church? Now, some of you are like, I was at a church like that. Well, wasn't Jesus fighting? There's people in the church fighting. That's not good. When the church submits to the authority of Christ, it's a healthy, obedient children, new believers. That's what it produces. A church that is right before God produces healthy new believers. A husband and wife that are right before God produces healthy children. If you are wrong before God, your children are going to be messed up, and it's your fault. You set the precedent. You got a little girl, she's going to look for a guy that yells at his wife. You got a little boy, he's going to look for a woman that he can yell at. Not good. Men, we need to be followers of Jesus to be a good father figure. You ever wonder how old Satan was when he rebelled? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm going to guess between 14 and 19. Listen, we got to face the facts. Teenagers are rebellious. I wonder sometimes if teenagers aren't God's way of getting us back. How do you like creating someone in your own image that denies you as much as they can? On this Father's Day, answer that. Tell your dad happy Father's Day. He's probably calling, why haven't they called me? On Father's Day, take heart. Even if your dad is not a Christian father, there is hope. My dad, let me tell you about my dad a little bit, not too much. I saw my dad, little guy. You're going to see him in a picture in a minute. Not yet. Wait. He was a little guy, very unassuming. We owned Castile's nightclub. In fact, what's really cool is there's three ladies who used to go to Castile's club when my mom and dad owned the club. They used to go there and dance. Now they come to this church. They were like, wait. La Puente, Castile's club? I go, yeah, that's mom. And I used to go there all the time. I was like, oh, okay. Awesome. One New Year's Eve, there was a fight at Castile's club. It was my dad against five other guys, and he beat them to a pulp. My dad grew up in gangs. I went with my dad to Mexico as a little kid, and I stood in the room, in the hotel room, when the Mexican mafia came in and threw a bunch of guns on the bed in a drug deal. I saw my mom and dad have a coffee table filled with money, at least a foot deep. The whole coffee table covered with money. I saw my dad cheat on my mom multiple times. I sat in the car once while he went in and cheated on my mom. And how did he shut me up? He bought me toys. Hear me, oh, here's a toy. Don't say nothing. I saw my dad beat me and my sisters, sometimes to bleeding. He broke a broom on my sister's back in three places. They would go to school and not wear gym clothes because then everyone could see their legs were all tore up from where he had used a belt. He didn't sexually assault us, but he beat us pretty bad. I would witness to my dad when I got saved. I'd witness to him and witness to him. He hated Jews. Oh, did he hate Jews. He would go to church every now and then, and he'd drop money in the plate when he'd come by, and he'd say, mijo, I'm good. I gave God $5. It's like tipping a waiter at the restaurant. Then one day, I'm witnessing to him. Can you imagine me witnessing? Hard to believe. I'm witnessing to him full force. We're going at it. I'm a young Christian. He starts to cry. I had never seen that man cry. I never see him jump. You couldn't scare him. I threw a firecracker, a real loud one, at his feet. My mom went, ah! My dad turned around. What are you doing, mijo? not a flinch, nothing. He wasn't afraid of anything. He really wasn't. But I saw that man cry for the first time when I was sharing Christ with him. And then one day he was questioning me about Jews. And I explained to him why they were God's chosen people. And instead of arguing with me or getting mad, he says, oh, I never thought of it like that. I was like, oh my gosh, who is this dude? He was changed. I got to see my dad live 1 year of life as a Christian. Not only that, if you put the picture up, I got to baptize my dad. This was a year before he passed away from cancer and a bunch of other things, but yeah, I got to baptize with my pastor. God can change a dad's heart. Thank you, sir. Dads, you can have a Darth Vader dad, but he still wants love. Maybe that's why he's Darth Vader. My dad was never loved. From the age of 9, he was on his own. We need to tell our dads we love them, even if they were hard to deal with. That's why, by the way, do you know that's why we come to worship? Our worship is supposed to be our expression of, it's like giving God a call on Father's Day and saying, I love you. That's what worship is, except every day is Heavenly Father's Day. Every day. Worship is telling God you love him. Now, understand, God is not insecure. Someone says, oh, what kind of God needs our praise? He doesn't need our praise. God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit, they've got each other, and they got the angels that have been faithful. He doesn't need us, but he loves us. If you're a dad, try to be more like God the Father. If you're a dad, try to understand the way he disciplines and he disciples. Remember this. All dads want their kids to love them. In Joshua 24:24, it says this. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. In fact, God later on goes on to say, you know, if they will just do this, if they will just do what they said, I'm going to bless them beyond belief. Every good father just wants his kids to obey and to love him and to respond. And then as a father, you just want to shower your kids with love and gifts. Man, oh man, but then there are those fathers who are godly and loving, and the kids just, they don't get it. They don't care. Well, you know, it happens. When that happens, you got to be more like Christ. You got to be long-suffering and patient. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, man, Pastor Randy, I've done everything I can. I show my kids what it means to be a godly parent, and they just won't love. Well, then be long-suffering. Suffer. I love 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. Behold, in other words, can you believe this? Wait till you hear this. That's what he's saying. You're not going to believe this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. He's saying, do you understand? I like the NIV says, what lavish love. You know, God's love is lavish. It's unconditional. You could be rotten to the core, and God still loves you. It all begins, folks, hear me. It all begins with changing the way we see our Heavenly Father. Even if you had a great dad, God is greater. If you had a good dad, God is greater. If you had a so-so dad, God is greater. If you had a Darth Vader dad, you have a good. Good isn't even a good word. Good is so trite. It's so impotent compared to how magnificent God is. He pours a lavish, matchless love upon us. Wow. And yet we go, oh, thank you, God. See you later. I'll call you on Sunday. God's going, I'm here every day at any time. I'm watching you while you sleep. You know, God does that. You know, when a couple has that first baby, you go in, you watch them sleep. By the time they have the third baby, you're like, you're sleeping again? Is that all you do is sleep? No. But you know what? A good father figure, you know what it means to be a good father figure? It means sacrifice. It means sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father set an example for us, right? Isaiah 53:10. Listen to this. Yet it pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him, the Son. He has put him to grief when you made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son so that we could be adopted as children. What a lavish love. Now, remember this. Jesus Christ is an example for us to follow. What does that mean? That means that you and I need to make huge sacrifices. Why? Because it's just an expression of love. My dad, not only did he have Castillo's Club, but my mom was a professional dancer. She was supposed to go on a world tour. My mom and dad showed me, even in their sins, even when my dad was this brutal mafia, drug-dealing, restaurant-owning, cheating man, he still taught me what love was in a weird way. Why? I was having some issues. I don't have time to develop it today, but I was having some issues, some, I'll call them medical issues. And so my dad, though it was his lifelong dream to be a nightclub owner and a restaurant owner, and they had both of those. It was my mom's dream to be a professional dancer, and she had that. They gave up their dreams in order to take care of their kids. My dad shut Castillo Club down. He sold it, basically, to pay for my needs, his little mijo. And I learned what it means to sacrifice. I learned that kids, our kids, are valuable. Money, job, occupation, hobbies, none of those things should take precedence over the love for our children. My evil, ungodly father taught me that, and yet I see Christians who don't even know that. They put their job, they put their bass boat, their car, their money before their children. What? Wow. Okay, I gotta skip that. Why do we come to God, though? Do we come to God for love, or do we come to God for trouble? As a father, do you want your kids to come for your love, or you want the only time your kids call, oh, it's little Johnny. Hey, honey, he wants money. He only calls us when he wants money. Hello? Yeah, I'll send you money. Click. Or you want, hey, Dad, how you doing? Hey, Mom, miss you. Which one do you prefer? Why do we treat God that way? We only come to God. Oh, God, this is terrible. And God's like, where were you yesterday? Where were you last week when I was blessing you? Well, I was busy enjoying my bass boat. I was busy shopping at Nordstrom's. How do I come to God? not wanting something from him. How do I show God that I love him? Well, first of all, obedience. Second, prayer. Third, service. Fourth, worship. Okay, Pastor Rennie, I get that. Okay, so obedience to God, prayer to God, service to God, worship to God. How does that translate to daddy, earthly fathers? Well, obedience to your parents. That's what the Bible says. Honor your father and mother. Prayer. Have conversation with your parents. Not about your shopping list of things you want from them, but just, how's your day? What you're doing? Hey, let's do this. Let's do that. Service. How about doing something nice for your parents, for your mom, for your dad? Worship, well, you don't worship your parents. You only worship God, but you can tell them that you love them. You can show those expressions of worth. How valuable are your parents to you? How valuable is your dad? How valuable is your father? Other than Father's Day. Is this the only day you give them a card, give them a gift? It's like, oh, it's Father's Day. Here you go. Oh, man. I like to give gifts all year round. My kids say, hey, I need this. Okay, get two. I do. I promise. I believe in two of everything. Honey, I want a gun. No. Two of everything. No. Two of everything except wives. One of those. God is our good, good Father. We should come to God with every day's Father. We should bring gifts of praise. God, I love you. God, I need you in my life. You should beat the worship team before God's throne. You should be more excited about going to worship than the worship team is about leading worship. And yet, so often, that's not what happens. You know, people go, well, Pastor Andy, I don't sing well. Think about this. Here you go. So here comes my little kid, brings me a drawing. Actually, one of my grandkids did a drawing, and they drew a picture of me at the pulpit teaching. And I was like, that is so sweet. That is so sweet. I was like, what is that? That's you teaching from the pulpit. I was like, that is sweet. But I didn't go like this. Oh, that's a, well, let me see some other kids your age. How are their drawings? Well, that you fail. That's not as good as theirs. No, God didn't do that. He didn't go, you don't sing as well as Desiree or Susan or Vanessa or Kristen. I don't want that. No, he says, but that's for me? You're singing to me? I know it's you didn't stay in the lines and those are horrible colors, but you're singing to me. It's the heart, not the gift. You know what the greatest Father's Day gift ever given was? Jesus on the cross. But you know what he was giving his Father? Us. Jesus went to the cross to give us, to say, here, Dad, this is for you. We're that precious gift to the Father. See, God had pleasure in putting his son on the cross because it allowed us to be adopted. You know when I don't have time for these other verses, but I just want to say this. You know when God the Father said that he was pleased in his son? When he had just been baptized. He hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't preached any sermons. He hadn't died on the cross. And he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God doesn't take pleasure in our activity. God takes pleasure in our identity. Do you identify with Christ? Do you identify with God? Listen, if you had a good dad, a great dad, good for you. If you had a good dad, praise the Lord. If you had a so-so dad, listen, there's hope. If you had a Darth Vader dad, there's hope. Because we all have a good, good father. I want to read, I do this like every other Father's Day. I read this song. I love this song because it breaks my heart every time I hear it. but there's some truth to it. It's by Mike and the Mechanics. It's called The Living Years. Here's what it says. Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustration comes beating on your door. I know I am a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Say it loud, say it clear. You can listen as well as you hear. It's too late when we die to admit that we don't see eye to eye. I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. Didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. But I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Maybe you're like me, your dad's not around anymore. But my Heavenly Father is. Maybe your dad is alive today. Tell him you love him, whether he was good, bad, or otherwise. And lift him up to the good, good Father and see if he doesn't do something. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your incredible love and mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for caring about us, for being that good, good Father. And, Lord, for giving us the fathers that we have so that we can also learn and change and grow. And so, Lord, on this Father's Day, Lord, some of us are fathers. All of us had fathers, and all of us have a father in heaven. May we not take any of them for granted. May we appreciate all that the fathers in our life do. And may we give you praise and glory for the lavish love that you pour out upon us. God, we're so unworthy of such a lavish love. But we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us fathers. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would wrap your arms around us. Some of us don't have fathers, physical fathers here, but we have you. Wrap your arms around us so we know, Lord. So we know. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that we would appreciate all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, there's some deacons up front. The rest of us, hey, let's give praise to the good, good Father.